This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Every day, a part of every sub you buy at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. And now, for a limited time, they're introducing the Daily Sub Special. Every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. They kick it off with Meatball Monday and finish it off with Italian Sunday, with something delicious every day in between for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Tap the banner now to learn more.
It's Tone Deaf Radio time.
I'm here on Tuesday nights. But last night was so epic. And I figured I'd come join y'all on a Monday. So, what up, duh? Oh, I'm not here by myself. I got my DJ, Mr. Tone Deaf, on the ones and twos. And in a few short minutes, we'll be joined by the creator of one of Facebook's biggest wrestling. I'm a part of it. Wrestling Commentary Central 24/7, where you can talk wrestling with some of those who know wrestling, some of those don't know wrestling, but everybody loves wrestling, so I got this on, it really matters. As
you so hear, are we calling into the conference, or are they calling to us, or Chris calling to us?
I just told Chris to call in, and he's going to help me call host the show.
Oh, he's not going to do the conference?
I asked him, was he doing a conference, and he said he didn't know if he wanted to do a conference. So I was like, well, you're not doing a conference. Hey!
What?
I'm talking about a patch-legged dog. Yeah. But I told him if he wasn't going to do a conference, just to call him to the show and tell everybody to come here.
Right.
Yeah, because I figured that I have to be Nick Cannon of this. Like, I think everybody is a closet fan of mine. Like, nobody will admit to liking my show, but everybody loves it.
I mean, I like Wallace. I ain't got no problem with Nick Cannon.
I don't have a problem with Nick Cannon either. I understand that Nick Cannon understands how to get white money.
And that's more important than Shred.
What, no?
Because in the world of Brock Lesnar, street cred don't mean nothing, because you die for your street cred, you still dead. Hands down.
Okay. Peace out. Well, stay with the dog.
Sit down and stay with the dog.
Everybody always want to talk to me when I'm trying to do something. I've been alone all day. Nobody said nothing to me.
It be like that though, bro. Really do.
The moment I start doing something, everybody wants to speak to me.
But the world of wrestling has actually been epic the past couple of days. Hands down. Because, like, SummerSlam was the shit. So many people died, proverbially.
SummerSlam wasn't bad. Like, I will give SummerSlam. No, let him win.
But Raw was Raw added onto it.
Raw added onto it.
But I mean, we gonna definitely get into both of them. Hey, Chris, tell Doug to give us a call before we get started, cause you know I want his opinion on everything, everything in the whole world. Look at the whole world, just wrestling stuff. But anyway, people, for those of y'all who are new to Tone Deaf Radio, we definitely have every show that can be listened to on ToneDeafRadio.com immediately after every show has actually aired. You can also check out special stuff about the Deafly Fresh Show, such as mixtapes of the week that Juan, you know, likes himself, as well as the Deafless Dictionary. If you've ever heard me and Fresh ever have a conversation, you will sometimes hear us say words that you might not understand. You can go there and check it out, as well as columns and everything like that from, you know, special articles. So make sure you check ToneDeafRadio.com, everything Tone Deaf Radio. Just saying. Tomorrow night, we will not be doing a Stand Definitely Fresh show, as we will be invading Poetry Unplugged for the very last time. So for all of y'all that are in the Milwaukee area, Poetry Unplugged has been a staple in the African-American community for the last 11 years. Due to unforeseen circumstances, this will be the very last show. Feel free to go ahead and join us at Tone Deaf Radio. We'll be in the building for the very last episode of PU. I don't know. Depending on how much juice I have on my battery, I might just go ahead and call and Michelle set it up and just let you hear the awesomeness that it is its last. That being said, let's get back to the whole reason why we're here to begin with, and that's about greatness, the WWE, and the wrestling this weekend, only on the network for $9.99.
Because see, what a lot of people don't know about the Deaf Fresh show, this is the origin of the even purpose of starting the show.
Right. If you don't know, Deaf Fresh show was born. Wait a minute.
At a local wrestling event.
Right, but what is that kind of lodge that they were in? Was it Masonic Lodge? I don't know. It was born in the Hallow Hall.
It's the Knights of Columbus. BCW,
yes, that's what it
was our ECW. It was a bingo hall. It was where the Pope spit psalms and all type of nonsense.
So much nonsense.
and we were born there. And even Chris was there. It started off as just a joke. You know, we walk up to people asking for their reactions at the shows. And then it became a 3-year phenomenon. That word phenomenon. Dictionary.
Something like a phenomenon.
Yeah, this is why LL doesn't have a career now. But anyway,
that is a lie. He has a career. It's just not musical.
Right. That's why he makes great movies and TV shows.
Getting that TV money. getting that good old fat American TV money. But let us definitely start from the beginning in regards to yesterday's.
I don't even want to start there. We're going to start Friday because Friday is what kicked off the entire weekend because they started the panels in Los Angeles, California. The SummerSlam panels out here were great. X-Pac and Kevin Nash came through, shared some stories. Hulk Hogan was there. They did a DX panel. I believe Stone Cold was drunk during the roster reveal, which we will get into because WWE 2K15 is only 2 months away.
May.
Only 2 months away. Not even 2 months.
May.
A month and a half, I'll say, because we are pretty much, we're halfway through August. And it, okay, wait, we can say 2 months because it comes out damn near the last couple of days of October. So, yeah, we got 2 months for the big release of WWE 2K15. And I've been hearing a lot of people, they're not excited about the game, so I think they're not excited.
Because, man, first and foremost, like we always say around here, is cannot satisfy the IWC. No matter what you do.
What does that stand for? Is that the Internet Wrestling Community?
Yeah, Internet Wrestling Community.
Fight.
Yeah, you can't fight it.
What do you want?
You can't.
You eat your
okay.
Before you get in. Let's
break this down. Number one, the biggest thing that everybody has always bitched about when it comes to wrestling games is the graphics, the gameplay, the roster, you know, things like that. But yet, every year, every wrestling game has given you more than what you got from before. Now, those who are watching this time have no reason to, because they completely overhaul the way the game looks at. And you as my witness, it's been plenty of double check. And look, like, are we looking at a snapshot from the show or the game? Like we look, damn, this is 2-1. Okay? Now, maybe the Monin and the IW are people who can't afford that GameCube or want to find something to always complain about. Personally, from what I've seen so far, I love it. I love the showcase where we do rivalries. People talk about the rivalries. Why don't we get Austin? Why don't we get Vince McMahon? We get different bitch and moans in regards to the freaking roster or the promo. But my question is, have you even played it yet? No. So shut the fuck up until you get it.
I just want to do a show.
Right.
We want to do a show.
But we are actually joined by the creator of DC, Mr. Chris Bring It himself. Chris, what's going on?
Is this on? Is this on? Bruh.
This is on.
Anybody
bruh.
Hear me? Okay. Well, what's going on, y'all? What's going on? It's been a while since I've been off on this bitch, but what's going on? What's good?
What? That's your fault, though.
Fuck you, nigga. Anyway, let's go. What's going on?
We talking wrestling, bro. We talking wrestling. Now, Chris, which console do you have at home? Are you a 3, an Xbox 360, or have you made a jump to the 4 or the 1 as of yet? Because right now, we're talking about the game coming up.
Well, right now, I have the PS3. I'm thinking about getting the PS4. Probably in early October. But right
Smart.
Now, I don't give a fuck about Xbox, you know, excuse my language, but yeah, I don't care for Xbox too much, but yeah, I'm a PS4 fan, so. I mean, PlayStation fan. I wouldn't say that I'm a PlayStation 4 fan quite yet. I love the graphics, but that's as far as it goes. There's no games that really have impressed me that have came out that I can say, oh, my God, I got to go and get that system. You know what I'm saying? Except for WWE 15. You know?
And that is the thing we're talking about right now. What are you most excited about WWE 2K15?
I'm mad
Shit.
That I want to do. I never do a show. I've been missing for 3 weeks. The first time I tried to do a show, seven people want to talk to me at one time. You got somebody want pizza rolls. You got somebody mad because they didn't have no McDonald's. You know what? I'm sleepy. I'm going to sleep. Cutting the show short. You're like, good night. We're going home.
I need you anyway. Let's keep it moving.
Ready, bro?
We don't need
ready, dude.
Yeah.
Myself, I would have to say, shit, I'm looking for the graphics. I love the new generation graphics. I did see a little bit of the gameplay, just a tad. From what I see, it looks like it's been a better. It's pretty much an upgrade from WWE 2K14, and that's saying a lot.
It is.
See, what I've been trying to get people to understand, because, see, like, a lot of people don't understand or they're not realizing that when 2K went in to make this game, it went in from scratch. Like, they didn't, because they wanted to overhaul the gameplay system, they didn't use the base model from 2K14.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all from scratch because they're basing this off next gen. Like, this is like one of the first, this is like one of the few games that was made for next gen, and then they have to convert it and dumb it down to put it on the current generation systems. So,
they
like,
only
they went
dumb,
in.
They only dumbed it down for the Xbox because PlayStation 3 is the proper hardware to handle too, but that's another story.
Right, but I'm saying, like, they're going in with the focus of we're just going to make this next gen. Like, they went in there with the idea of next gen only. And then it's like, okay, well, once we get it to how we want it for next gen, we'll dumb it down, which is why the PS3 and the Xbox 360 don't get the career mode.
Yeah.
Now, I don't understand that part. I really don't. Now, how the hell are you going to have a career over here for one system, but then you don't have a career mode over here? Now, I understand that, you know what I'm saying, the graphics is superior over here for the Xbox, you know, for the Xbox One and for the PS4, but then, you know what I'm saying, you're going to have fans over here that's going to say, okay, what the fuck? What are we going to get over here? What, WWE Universal mode? I'm like, what the fuck?
It's the processor, bro. No, it's the processor.
And
it's the processor.
Too, and, like, anything that's brand new is a business move. Like, if you put something over here that is not available over here, it's either going to get you to convert or it's going to get you to say fuck it in general.
But it's really the processor more than anything.
That's maybe true, but they want a lot. They want more people to convert into this next generation. So,
but, bro, I mean, come on now. We're in the – you know, I'm not trying to get off topic, though, but we're in a generation right now where unemployment is skyrocketing, like literally. There's not everybody that can afford a PS4 or an Xbox One. You know what I'm saying? They have to think about those kind of people. But like you said, in the business that we're living in,
right,
everybody want to get their fucking money, which is cool.
Right.
I mean, I'm not killing their swag. I'm not doing that. But at the same time, you got to think about those players that, you know what I'm saying, that still got Xbox 3. You know, I mean PS3, what the fuck, and Xbox 360. You got to think about those players.
All right. And check this out, though. Like I was saying, it's more the process of niggas getting money. Niggas getting money. Decision in the thing about it is the consoles have more power than they ever did before. So in order to be able to run all these different things and do a different mode, you got to have a proper the 360 and the PS3. They don't have that power. Best way to describe it, Chris, what kind of phone do you got?
What kind of phone I have?
Yeah.
What, the one that I'm on right now?
Yeah. No, you're.
Chris got an Android phone. I know that phone.
Oh, no. I'm like, what the fuck? Am I going out? I have a Note 2. I got a
okay.
Note
3. So, compare a Note 2 to, let's say, a phone from 3 years ago. Okay? It's a pretty big difference, right? There's shit that old phone could never do that made you go out and get your Note, right?
Correct.
It's the same way. You got to remember, when Xbox and the PlayStation was made, that's a minimum of at least 5 years ago. That system can't handle the power that you
But I mean, come on now. Like, Xbox One and PS4 was created last year. I mean, it just came out last year.
But those are
identical. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm just saying my thing is, like, I'm a PS3 fan, but then at the same time, when you look at graphics like that on the PS4, and especially for the game that I've been wanting to get since last year, you know what I'm saying, it makes me want to get me a PS4, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I mean, I get what you two are saying. It's just, you know, it's killing me that I gotta put down $400 to get something that's not on the PS3. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the selling angle. And I think going, like, even if it's not with wrestling, I just believe all games in general, not trying to get off topic because we're supposed to be talking about wrestling. But
which we're
going forward, there's always going to be that hook. There's like, okay, well, we're going to drop this on 360, and we're going to put this on PS3, and then we're going to put the same game on PS4, Xbox One, up the graphics. Then we're going to give them something that they want over here and not over there.
I mean, when you look at wrestling, it did that. When it first came out, that same concept happened when you went from a PlayStation 2 to a PlayStation or a regular Xbox to an Xbox 360. Go back and look at how Raw 1 and 2 on Xbox look. How SmackDown versus Raw first came out look completely different. Why? Because the old console couldn't handle it. Hell, it even got to the point that when the new game, PS3 was like, you know what, well, we can't even do this yet. Come back to us next year. Because Xbox 360 had the game for the next year first. All because they couldn't. Plus, and the biggest issue. The biggest issue, the fact that the Xbox 360 is done on DVD, while everybody else is on Blu-ray. That's a whole lot more data that you store on all these discs that you need to read on an Xbox. That's the biggest reason they won't add all that extra. Too much work to dumb it down. So if they say, hey, we just take this off, test it on the one in the PS4, and see how well it goes over with those fans, then we'll make it a regular staple. It is the way it is, bro. Enough
right,
video games.
I honestly believe that seeing that this was the first time that they wanted to try the My Career mode, next gen only. That way, if it's not what it is on the next gen, there's no need to put it back in the game next year. And now we're satisfying those who did not go out and spend the extra money on the new systems and still got the old system, and we still got a great game.
No problem.
Then,
right.
then you look at it like, okay, well, if it succeeds on the next gen, we know what we can do to dumb it down so it fits on the current gen.
I mean, but first, I mean, why don't you go back to the games that were successful, like, you know, WWE SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain, or WWE Raw versus SmackDown 2007. I mean, why don't you go back and research?
Because the internet, and I use that term loosely, no, not internet, fans on the internet, and I use the word fans loosely, they won't allow it. And I say
what
that about anything. Like, people won't allow you to do certain things because before we even thought about, like, put it like this, for example, even though it was a small feature in 2K14, it was dope, the fact that when Titus O'Neil comes out, he barks. When Daniel Bryan comes out, he says no. When Sheamus comes out, you can hear him say fella. Like, that, like, little small things that they do, it makes your mind go that way. So if you're like, well, why can't we just do it this way? You're like, well, no, because you got to add all this new stuff to it. Now, me personally, I didn't care. I could play a game on mute. They didn't have to talk. I'll read the subtitles. And I'm cool with subtitles. I don't have to hear no voices, you know. But once you give them that, now it's like with the new game that's, They 2K went on the road with WWE, so they mocapped everybody, they scanned everybody. I'm sure everybody who did a voice for the My Career mode, they've got everybody's actual voice. Like, everything gets so advanced, and the people who's going to want what they keep advancing is not going to allow us to go back to what was old and what was cool.
Mm-hmm. Understandable, yeah. But my thing is, like, okay, You know, having said that, you know, of course you got to put the new shit in. Cool. But some people like the old shit, too. like, you know what I'm saying, the interactive stages, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's so fucking cool that you can, like, you know, you can do head smashes on a steel steps. That's, it's like right. Shit like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't even have that in like 2K14 and in WWE 13, 12. You know, shit like that. Like little shit that we miss. And they don't even have that anymore. And then yet, you know what I'm saying, the commentary. The commentary still haven't changed.
Chris.
But you know what? That's another thing I'm looking forward to.
You get two elements in that statement. Number one, the company who made every last name that you complained about is no longer in the equation. Okay? Mm-hmm. They now have a company who is known for revolutionizing stuff. Look at basketball games now compared to basketball games back in the days. The way NBA 2K is now is the staple of how a sports game needs to be. Okay? This is the same company who's now handling our wrestling game. This is the same company who doesn't only give you 3 DLCs a year. The same company where you'll turn your game on and pop on the screen something brand new to you for no reason. 2K takes advantage of DLCs way beyond what THQ ever will. So you may log in one day that gives you the triple threat ladder matches as a special tribute to SummerSlam. No reason whatsoever. Here's a game mode that WWE had never talked about ever bringing back to the fact we don't have the Dudley and we have a healthy Edge ever again and we don't have the Hardy Boy payroll. But 2K says, hey, you fans, fuck it. Here you go. This is another reason why the next-gen consoles are more beneficial to us as wrestling fans because these consoles can get up. You can get the interactive stages. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised they don't start showing it in gameplay. That's just it. One point right now, they haven't showed us shit. Okay? No, for a fact,
like,
they redid all the commentary. Matter of fact, redid it to the point where it doesn't sound monitored. You hear the same thing over and over again. They actually redid it. The commentary was done together. Wayne and Cole was together at the exact same time when they were redoing the commentary. Chris, you play a lot of creative wrestlers, so they've only put so much commentary geared towards creative wrestlers that, of course, that's going to sound very sad, and you keep hearing it over and over and over again, as in if you played with all the wrestlers on your roster for a bunch of shit you've never heard before or you'll never see before. Remember, it's a whole new company running the show, and these people act fans, because 2K is notorious. Niggas would tweet 2K, say, hey, bro, where you going to runs? 2-3 weeks later, boom, pop a brand new pair of shoes for no reason. I mean, yeah, it's shoes, it's courts, it's jerseys that were worn on a special St. Patrick's Day game that was on TV, but it's that in the mind of a wrestler, ooh, got a brand new outfit. Boom, 2 weeks
hey,
later.
Hey, Tom, people are telling me that you're breaking up when you're talking.
I'm probably
I
am.
And I was going to mention that, but I wasn't ready. So, you know.
He didn't want to throw we don't do shade over here, Chris. So I'm glad you didn't
look, I'm not throwing no shade, so don't even judge me, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm just here as a special guest, all right? You were supposed to be doing your job, okay? Right.
Using Skype, so that's believable. But let's get to the wrestling part.
Wait a minute, You want Skype? Never mind.
Well,
it's
easier.
You know what? Continue, bro. Continue.
It's easier to use Skype for Blog Talk. And it's
see, in my world, what we do is we use like landline phones. But hey, I'm not judging. You know, that's not my business. I'm just saying hashtag.
Well, good. Don't make it your business. Shut up.
See, you know what? Make me you know what? Let's go on.
The part is we can't, bro. Right.
But anyway, on to Sunday, which was the shit. From top to bottom, it's been a while since from top to bottom WWE had a legitimate decent card. I would say that. And SummerSlam was the first time in a long time, like, each match had its own separate story. Everything flowed right, and all the matches made sense. Like, there wasn't nothing thrown together at the last minute. Wow, why are these two jackasses on TV? It was none of that. Everything flowed perfectly, and I will give SummerSlam a strong 8 just because we're living in this era of wrestling where most of the time this shit sucks.
Interesting.
Because 85% of matches are pretty unpredictable about who actually was going to win, to me. Only because I'm not a person who looks at that spoiler or try to find out, like, what's going to happen or what's the stipulation or what's the future setup. Outside the Brock Lesnar situation, I kind of didn't know who was going to win what. The way the match went.
When Dolph Ziggler won the IC belt to start off the night, I knew it was going to be an unpredictable night because that nigga has been buried since last year.
Niggas must have been buried for like 3 years now. Let's keep it real. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's buried for me, bro.
Yeah.
For real.
Just, like, every time he gets a fucking title, he gets injured. Like, tonight, he got a fucking knee injury. What the hell, man? You just got the belt 24 hours ago. Really?
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Well, that could be anything
to
be selling. That could be for him and me to keep going to work.
So, bro, you telling me that he sold? You tell me he sold that concussion too?
A concussion is a
no. Jack Swagger really kicked dude in the head. Like, he fucked him up.
Right. He really kicked that nigga that day.
That's some bullshit. But
a little injury can be
fake. He must have said something about his mama or something.
I don't know. If somebody get kicked in the head like that and his hair is like flowing like a mop, that's none of my business. But just going to SummerSlam, I'll give it a 8.5. Like Fred said, you know, the matches were unpredictable, some of them. The first two, awesome. They started out SummerSlam on a strong note, and that's unheard of on a WWE pay-per-view. But this SummerSlam, they really brought their A-game. The reason why I gave it the 8.5 is just for a simple fact that the main event, I was looking for a fight, and it seemed like it was one-sided. Wow, that's all I got to say.
Well, but here's the thing about the main event, though. Everybody always is about Super Cena. Everybody always bitches about Cena. Like, no matter how much of an ass, he always comes back and wins. For once, he didn't come back, and a lot of people were upset.
You're talking about the kids that's younger than 10.
No, I'm talking about the grown-ups. But the kids must be upset.
Oh, you're talking about the 40-year-old virgins. Got you. Never mind.
Right, but let's get back to the ones that are normal people who seen Brock beat ass. Now, he always gets on the scene about his five. He always does. If I'm mistaken, and Heyman been down, literally the whole match was five moves from Brock. Bam. He gets 16 Germans. 16. Ben didn't need to do 16 fucking Germans.
Hey, the folks from WCC said that, hey, Brock was giving contribute to the man that we're not supposed to say is Chris Benoit. But, yeah, that's not my business.
That
either.
Brock said
I'm just saying, like, 16 German suplexes, bro. Come on, man.
I mean, but, like, when you look at the main event, like Tom said and Chris has said, everybody complains about Super Cena. Like, for some reason, nobody likes man. Then you complain when there was a legitimate Lex Luthor who walked in Superman's front door, was like, you know what? I've been gone for about 4 years, but I'm still going to hurt you. And that's what he did.
Hurt him bad.
He literally did, like, gave Cena the punch. But I think what really, but you know what, Fresh? On that note, I think what really surprised me is that Cena, and I'll give him his props, Cena jobbed, literally jobbed, yes, folks, jobbed in that match.
He
took an ass whooping like a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really,
Cena,
literally did. I'll give him props.
Cena will always be the, like, Cena has been a company man for the last 12 years. Whether he wants to do it or he don't want to do it, if you tell Cena this has got to be done, he's going to go out there and do it. Like, everybody hates dude for stuff that's not his fault. Like, if I'm sure Cena has tried to pass the ball as many times as he could, but if you can't do it, Triple H's like, look, bro, you got to go out here, you got to win. This is how we're going to write it. Because without you, we're going to fail.
I mean, they fell regardless, bro. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody hates Cena for a reason. It's just, it's kind of hard to explain. It's just something about dude that just makes my ass itch. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. I can't put my fucking finger on it. I don't know.
It's
just, I do not like this cat.
Fam, today, Pokemon broke down a single reason why you love and hate Cena in one speech. Okay? He's been on top 10 years. That's longer than the two biggest people we love, Austin and Rock, combined together. Okay? He's been on top because other niggas can't get their shit right. Randy Orton. But he's, I mean, it's just the way it is. Okay? And that's why a lot of us love him, because at the end of the day, you know he's going to go out there, see the show when we get here. But at the same time, because they might not get their shit right, or bro just happens to be in the right play time, he's on top. So other ones of us, so many times, I hated Cena. I hated Cena. I can't even remember the guy. He won every pay-per-view for 2 years. After what, I got sick of that shit. I'm like, damn, let's go to the
next. Hey, Joe, you are breaking up really, really bad.
Yeah, because, bro, you might have to go to your tri-phone, bro. I mean, you're going to have to, like, do some switching. And,
you got
to
get a radio.
But hey, we got phones. We're selling that Time Warner cable for $19.95. So I'm just like, no,
hey,
it's fine.
Nobody wants to buy that.
So I have to put that little plug in.
Tell me about tonight. Like, someone never breaks up that bad.
What you trying to say, DeJuan?
So he is standing in a part of the house where he is getting sucky reception.
See, that's some bullshit. See, hey, Tone, if you slightly move to the right, you know, like turn your hip, you might get better reception. I'm just saying.
But.
And he totally got quiet.
I feel everybody's pain. Like, y'all hate John Cena, y'all love John Cena. But first of all, everybody who hates the man, don't blame Cena. Blame Randy Orton. I'm going to tell you
the
why.
You
got to
blame Randy Orton for it. Randy Orton is responsible for his own action. And then on top of that,
you
got motherfuckers like Vince McMahon that's in the fucking back that sit there talking about, I love Mel Farm with muscles. You know, I mean, dude, that's
you really. You want to know why you should blame Randy Orton?
Why is that?
This is why you should blame Randy Orton. Randy Orton, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Batista, all of them. Same draft class down at OVW.
Mm-hmm.
Same time. They're all down there together. Mm-hmm. Brock came up first. This is why you should blame Randy Orton. When Randy Orton came up, Randy Orton was the chosen one. He was the chosen guy.
Indeed.
That's who they want. They didn't want John Cena. John Cena is the kid that was picked last for kickball. They didn't. No, I'm just saying that's the fact. They didn't want Cena. Like, Cena was last. They wanted Orton.
Right.
But Cena is the true epitome of what happens when you just work hard. Like, everything was handed to Randy. Cena worked for it. Everything that was handed to Randy, you know, and Randy didn't know how to deal with what was handed to him, which is why he is still. And he's at 35. He's still the WWE's problem child. Like, dude will never not get in trouble. Like, it doesn't matter the flipping off audience member when you know you're not supposed to do it. You defecate it in a woman's purse. Like, really? How low can you get?
Hey, it is what it is.
First, like,
what do you have to do to a person to be like, you know what, dog? I'm shitting your bag tonight.
The same question that Dougnificent was asking.
Shit. Man, they shot him and took a shit on him. I don't know what he did to deserve that.
Like, what do you do to deserve that?
That's crazy.
Nah, but honestly, though, Doug, Cena need a break. His bitch done turned heel. like family.
Wait a minute, his bitch? His bitch in Turn Hill. Is it?
I'm sorry.
Big Jugs. I'm sorry. My bad. I got kind of sidetracked there for a second. See, I thought you were talking about AJ Lee, but, you know, I had to shift gears for a second. So I had to do some diva shuffling.
That's CM Punk, bitch.
I know. That's why I say I was doing some diva shuffling. My bad. Don't judge.
Get your bitches right.
You're so stupid.
But but for real, though, what match you think stole the night for SummerSlam? That's the question I would ask.
I'm fresh. You might have to go first.
Lumberjack match, hands down. They stole the show. Just because people knocked it. And I've seen it. I've seen every wrestling group that I'm a part of. When Dean Ambrose announced that he wanted to do a lumberjack match, everybody was like, what? You could have picked any match in the world. Ladder match, cage match, anything to prevent dude from running from you, and you pick a lumberjack match. Like, dude, it was
but
basic.
That's the hardest match to pick. If you got a nigga that's running, you get a bunch of niggas that's gonna keep you from running.
And then on top
of
that, when you look at the story behind it, like the Shield beat up damn near everybody on the roster. Nobody liked them.
Everybody.
Why not pick a lumberjack match?
Right.
That's true. I would have to say, and I think I'm gonna play devil's advocate. And I usually don't do this, though, but it's a tie between the Lumberjack match and the Divas Championship match. I love the Divas Championship match. And that's very, very rare for me to even say that. AJ Lee and Paige, their rivalry is just getting better and better and better and better.
I don't know. See, I like the Divas match, but to me, it wasn't one of the top matches. It was one of the better Divas matches we've ever had, hands down, but it wasn't a top one to me. Like, truth be told, the Bree Stephanie situation, I like better than the Divas match.
What?
Because there's a lot of storyline behind their situation. Like, literally, if you pay attention, their storyline is a continuation of Daniel Bryan versus the Authority. A lot of people are eating off this storyline. Okay, number one, we got a McMahon in the ring that we ain't had since God knows when. Okay,
10,
number two,
11 years.
Stephanie looked it good, period, as well
shout
as
out.
In the ring.
Shout out to the four horsewomen.
Right, okay. So she did good on that part. She didn't botch like Vince normally does. She ain't Shane, and she damn sure ain't Vince either. So I got to give her credit for that. We got a heel turn that we never seen coming. Like, no one would have expected that Nikki would have been like, fuck my sister.
No, I got to stop you on that one. Now, we knew from a mile away that bra was going to turn heel. I'm sorry for all the folks that's like 35 and up. We knew that. But everybody that was like about maybe 15 and down, y'all motherfuckers and y'all clueless.
We didn't know. Seriously. Because if you still look at it, they still really ain't here. Here's the reason why I said you never seen that coming. Number one, they're both the stars of Total Diva, okay? They just finished their third season. They've been re-signed for at least two more seasons, all right? So to have her turn on her sister, knowing they're about to get this network money, can actually fuck things up because
of all
the shit that they do on there.
Right. Like, with that aspect of it, I can see why nobody was sitting coming. Like, okay, well, it's wrestling, and we know wrestling's fake, and we know all of this, and then they do a reality show, so it's like, you turn on me on TV, but then we kick it in on this reality show. It's kind of sketchy, like, you know what, we're not that dumb. We're dumb, but we're not that dumb.
Right.
Now, my thing is, I think I just forgot what the fuck I was going to get ready to say. You might have to come back with me, but I was going to say something about the Divas, but I fucking forgot.
I think Total Divas is going to be real interesting due to the fact that the Funkadactyls have split.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they split before they started filming season three or they're going to show, like, the backside of them splitting and if they talked about it. Because, I mean, we saw it coming.
Right.
That's what I wanted to talk about, Daniel Bryan. Now, granted be that, you know what I'm saying, they do have a lot of backstory in his backline with Bree and Stephanie McMahon, but I think the main piece of the puzzle that we're missing is Daniel Bryan. We don't know if he's going to even come back in the ring. The last time that we heard from him was about 2 months ago, saying that it's a possibility that he might not be wrestling till next year. And we don't know what's the full extent of his neck injury. So what happened if the man can't come back to wrestling? And, the storyline would be what? They would just be doing this for a waste of time?
Storyline off to Stephanie and Bree, because if the storyline dies out there, let's say D-Bry can't come back, it dies out with Stephanie and Bree, and then Bree goes over here and feuds with Nikki, they've kind of moved the storyline away from the underlying situation, and we cool from there. The authority starts fucking with other people, and life goes on, okay? But it's sitting right in a good place that, let's say he does get clear. Remember, they came up with this false, he been cheating on her kind of a thing that got thrown out there but didn't get thrown into anything yet. So bro can easily pop up on TV. He got to deal with that shit. Bree can be out the picture for a minute trying to get that shit cleared, whatever. They have many different directions that whatever they get from the doctors about dude to say, hey, you can get back in the ring now. Boom, this is the storyline we're going to go with. He's going to be out for another 5 months. Boom, this is the storyline we're going to go with. Hey, he can't come back and wrestle at all. Boom, this is the storyline we're going to go with. They got their directions covered.
Hey, look, I'm not trying to be coonish when I say this shit, but how the hell he going to have an affair and half of his body functions and not even fucking working? I'm just saying. That's none of my business.
And I agree with you. That's pretty stupid to throw an affair storyline out there when the way that your last Total Diva episode ended was they got married. Like, bro, at least let him be off his honeymoon before you start saying he cheating. Like, if anybody...
they said that his left arm ain't working. You know what I'm saying? What happened? She trying to give him head or what? The motherfucker not even working. I'm just saying.
It's the fact that made it so funny, though, dog. She was like, yes, you're sitting there, and Dan O'Brien, and you guys are working out, and at the end of every session, you go to Dan O'Brien, and you're like, yes.
See,
like,
that?
Stupid, dog.
Wow.
But that's what makes Stephanie so good. She even took the yes and flipped it, because now she got a shirt that says Steph. So, yes, I appreciate you guys coming down to ring chatting. Steph. That's what makes Stephanie so cold, and that's why
I
like
that
segment.
The shirt.
Right, I'm getting that shit I'm getting that shirt for my sister for that reason. But that's what makes Stephanie so cold. Like Triple H ain't been nowhere near the storyline, and this storyline done stole the show.
And he doesn't need to be, because we all know WWE, they plan on top of planning. So, you know, like, they've already covered the aspect that the case Daniel Bryan is not back in time to do what he's done or do what he needs to do. They've already handpicked who they want to go that route.
Right.
And, you know, everybody knows who's going to go that route. He's been chosen already. So we just got to watch how his story unveils. And he had a big part last night. That match was dead boring, but he won. Maybe because Randy's getting boring. I don't know. Maybe his matches are starting to be like his promos, monotone.
Getting boring?
Terrible.
Bro, been boring for a while. The minute Randy stopped punk-kitting people, dog, is when he got boring. Seriously.
That's crazy. Well, I concur.
Man, this match against Sheamus was more entertaining than him. Sheamus, out of all people.
I think Randy time is like it's slowly coming to an end. It's just, I don't know.
It's proof that certain people don't fit this mold of what you want to put on television. Like, you can't call me a sadistic apex predator and then I can't be a sadistic apex predator. Like, I was watching some stuff from the network and it's just like, remember when Randy was bald, doing steroids, butt kicking people?
I'm just saying.
I mean, come on now. We're living in a PG environment. They can't really do half the shit that they used to, like, about 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
a lot of people don't need to do it, though. That's why.
Bring it's back the Randy that punch kicked Vince either. McMahon so hard his toupee fell off.
You're so stupid. But I'm just saying, I would love for them to do that.
There's not enough people know how to do take the punt kick. Plus, when you turn around, you bump some niggas, Dolph Ziggler. They end up with concussions and shit, so you can't just have dude punt kicking anybody. That's the problem. Really, it's
or
the concussion
Kofi Kingston,
thing. The
same.
Right. So really, is the concussion thing is the reason why Randy can't punt kick no more.
See, everybody, you hear the ambulance that's in the back? That's exactly what happened to Dolph Ziggler when you fuck up a fucking move. I'm just saying. 911.
The bad part is that ambulance is like 5 blocks away. Damn, that's loud as hell. But,
see?
I got faith in Dolph. You don't.
I do, too. That's why
you don't elevate him to where he needs to be. Only to, you know, I got faith in Dolph. Dolph's going to come through. He's been a trooper this long, and hey, he's going to do it. Dolph Ziggler will be back on top.
This is a question of when, everybody. We just don't. We don't have the answers. We really
his
don't.
His health plays his biggest factor, does. I mean, but he better hurry up and do something, because if you look at NXT, bro, it's a lot of niggas that can scoop your spot with ease. So
I'm not going to go that far. And the only reason why, no. The only reason why I'm not going to go that far is because we watch NXT on the network. Now, NXT is not $9.99. For those who know the WWE Network, the www.com/signup, $9.99. And I just
with the 6-month agreement, by the way.
Or you can pay $12.99 if you just want to walk away whenever you feel like it. That's up to you.
But I'm just saying, like, watching NXT, and, like, NXT is a whole different, like, Raw is a whole different animal from NXT. Now, NXT is more about wrestling.
Right.
It's very rare when you give a talent down at NXT a microphone. Now,
if it ain't part of your
gimmick. Now, I'm just saying, now, as far as any of them coming up, now, if you're going to take Dolph spot based on talent, think, yeah, he, you know, he's got a couple guys who can outshine him on any given day of the week. Some guys I'm not going to give a microphone to.
But thinking about NXT, bro, you got some talents that they might not be ready when it comes to mic skills, but people like Paul Heyman and what's their name with Rusev prove to you that you ain't got to have the mic skills. Somebody else can have your mic skills. You just got to have the in-ring skills.
Okay, now, see, you bring up Paul Heyman. Now, Paul Heyman is good on the mic. Paul Heyman is a genius. But
get it right, bro. Paul Heyman is great on the mic.
Paul Heyman
is like literally God
right.
to the WWE.
But Mark Lester has not said two words since he's gotten back, yet his promos moves mountains. Why? Because Paul Heyman is the one talking. Big difference.
Right, but Look at Paul Heyman cutting a promo for CM Punk. Look at Paul Heyman cutting a promo for Brock Lesnar. Then look at Paul Heyman cutting a promo for Cesaro and Curtis Axel and Ryback. Do you see the difference here?
The difference is all three names you just said never had anything to back them. Okay?
Exactly.
Curtis
totally
Axel
irrelevant.
Literally
no,
went
no, no,
from
no, no.
Michael McGillicuddy. What did he have to back him?
Except for his dad. That's the only thing he
right.
can back.
No, my
Ryback,
thing is like,
what he has to back him. And Ryback
here,
was only slid in for to sub in for Brock.
Here's
so,
my point, though, Mike. Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, legitimate Paul Heyman guys. I don't know what makes you a Paul Heyman guy, and I watched the DVD, but for some reason, they're legitimate Paul Heyman guys. They didn't just walk through the front door and was like, okay, well, you need a gimmick. We'll stick you with Paul Heyman if this can get you over. Like, that's about as microwave as these pizza rolls I'm going to eat.
What makes you a Paul Heyman guy is Paul Heyman sees something in you and pushes for you. Like, for an example, Punk would have never got in the door of the WWE if it wasn't for Paul Heyman. He said this numerous times. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman has been together since day one. Okay? Like, Brock's career didn't go nowhere without Paul.
So it's like, why do WWE think you can stick Joe Schmo? And this is no knock to Cesaro, because he is a phenomenal athlete. But Ryback is definitely Joe Schmo. And Curtis Axel will never go anywhere, ever. I don't know why. He just won't get there.
And because like, I think the WWE thought that in their mind, their philosophy is Paul Heyman can turn a dead fish and bring them back to life again. And sometimes you just want to leave that dead fish in the water to float. That's all I'm going
to say. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, okay, I give you Paul Heyman. He's your mouthpiece. But if you're not giving these guys any credible feuds or credible challenges, Paul Heyman can just talk all night. Think about it. Cesaro, what was his first feud? It was Jack Swagger. That's not a credible feud. Okay? And then after you got done with Jack Swagger, then what did they do with Cesaro? Absolutely nothing. He didn't get moved anywhere. He went to the Battle Royal on his own because Paul Heyman was in the back getting Brock ready for his Taker streak. Had he came out with Cesaro when he won the Battle Royal and stayed with him after that, then it could have elevated even more. Even now, all Cesaro really does is run around and say, hey, I won the first Battle Royal for Andre the Giant. What else have they done with him? Fam, I really haven't seen dude on TV doing nothing until he fought Swag tonight, only to make Swag feel more like a bitch-ass nigga for losing the night before. Okay? only for them to send a real nigga out there to get the shit done right. You send Swag out there, all patriotic, all we American, we're white America, let's go out here and beat Mother Russia, and you niggas lose. But you send a real nigga out there who say, hey, bitch, shut up, I'm not talking to you, in so many words, and then commence to whoop his ass, and then go on about his business.
My thing is, people get lost in the shuffle of WWE because they make so many plans for you, but then some of your plans don't come to fruition.
Right.
Like, they had this big idea. It was like, well, we're going to stick Cesaro with Paul Heyman. Cesaro's going to be the Paul Heyman guy until Brock Lesnar comes back. Then we're going to have this big flip for Cesaro. We're going to turn him babyface, and he's going to be Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar is back on TV. He's won the WWE World Heavyweight title, and Cesaro is jobbing to ECW has-beens like RVD. No offense.
Right. But it's true, though. And the problem is they don't thoroughly. Okay, the WWE doesn't write storylines like they used to. Back in the days when you sat down, you got a storyline, you're going to work with somebody, that storyline can stretch out for about 3 to 4 months. So you take some L's, you get some W's, you do some shady shit, you do some superhero shit, and then the culmination came down to one of the big four. Okay? You had this epic match at one of the big four. It was done the very next night on Raw. You got your new storyline is into effect now. They don't do that no more. They go from pay-per-view to pay-per-view. So one minute you can be on your way to the top. Then all of a sudden the person who they want you to feud with next, they didn't decide to do something else because the fans done said, you know what, we're liking that guy, so he's going to turn heel because of what he can do. Oh, shit, my bad, we forgot about you. You know what, just go over here and win these matches over here real quick so we can see what the fans think. And then they just completely forget. Okay?
Which
and you
want
to know why this happened?
With Roman. I don't want Roman
right.
to get lost in the shuffle.
But you know why they do this? And it makes perfectly good sense. Wrestling is catered to kids. Kids have short attention spans. Okay? That's why certain wrestlers can only be hot for a short amount of time, and then they're not hot anymore because kids are not buying into them anymore. Because kids
mm-hmm.
have short attention spans. If you ain't got no merchandise that a kid can wear to school the next day to prove that they went to some wrestling event, you're not going to get too far too often. Plain and simple.
That's true. That's true. As far as Brock Lesnar goes, there's one little problem that I got, and that's the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So since he won that last night from Cena, and seeing that he's a part-timer, it's not like he's going to hold it for 2 months. They talking about long-term. They talking about from now all the way to WrestleMania 31, he's supposed to be fighting Roman Reigns. Now, Me, personally, I'm kind of skeptical about this situation. What y'all think?
Well, and this is the thing, okay? The only stipulation in a champion's contract is you have to defend. They didn't say nothing you have to be on TV. You just got to defend. So if dude only have matches at pay-per-views, okay, Paul Heyman, once again, where he plays the factor for Brock Lesnar, is he's the advocate that shows up. Think about it, dude. Majority of this whole entire feud leading up to Cena, we seen Brock, what, once? That's
twice.
The night he punked everybody out, twice. The night he punked everybody out the ring, and then the one time he showed up. Paul has done all the work for dude. Paul has done all the work for dude ever since he beat Taker at WrestleMania. Okay? Now you build, we didn't even say who the number one contender is against dude yet. For night
well, we already know it's going to be John Cena.
Well, no, that's the catch.
Well,
that's
the catch because we don't know if it's going to be John Cena.
Right, we don't.
The rumor is Cena was supposed to drop the belt so he can leave and do a movie or take some time off. Like, Cena's supposed to leave.
Right. So for all we know, Cena could be out of action, hence why he took such a massive ass-whooping. So if Cena don't come back for 2 or 3 months, we can all say the massive ass-whooping he took from Brock Lesnar is the reason why he's out. Okay? Or we can always have him fight at Night of Champions because he never gives up. He goes in the Night of Champions, fucked up, and then completely get his ass whooped. Brock goes out there, beat him. Match has to get stopped. Cena won't give up. He gets knocked the fuck out, and he's off TV for a couple of months. They can do it anyway. But at the same time, we can start building somebody else. We can start testing the waters. See who's ready. Put a couple of people in this position who we've always said going to be there via tournament, via opportunity, whatever the case may be, you know. And
well,
then they
well like, okay, like, for example, now, you made a good point when you said, okay, let's put some of these wrestlers and see, like, what they're capable of. Let's see if they can, like, you know, run with it, you know, carry the ball with them. But remember that little trio with, you know, Big E and Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. You see what happened with that shit? They said, you know what, we're going to run with it. 2 seconds later, we're going to get rid of it. You know,
it's
shit like
gone.
That.
It's not gone. It's just, it's not gone. They may be doing house shows to fine-tune it. Because if you pay attention when you see them on TV, whether it's two of them together or all of them together,
They're all wearing their colors.
Yeah, they have their colors on. They just probably haven't given their name yet, or they haven't figured out how they're going to go about doing it. But it's there. They just haven't used it. Think about this: is none of them is ready to be anywhere near that title. Okay? And then the fact that you got both mid-card belts right now on faces, their whole situation is irrelevant. You just go to SmackDown and do house shows for now.
Because we now need to build heels. Right, and then we don't even know if their situation will turn them heel, which is really going to be a big test because, well, we know Big E can be a heel, even though he kind of was, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, we don't know. Kofi can be a heel.
Kofi Kingston needs to be a fucking heel. I mean, we've been saying that for the last 9.5 years since he's been in the WWE.
But at the same time, we have to take something in consideration. The WWE, even though they got racist people that work there, okay?
No doubt.
They're very sensitive about getting close to shit that's going on in the world. And right now with the Ferguson situation, you really
can't push.
It's too touchy right now to try to push them because you know that will be the springboard you need to put the new nation on because the nation always talks about how we as blacks in wrestling don't get to where we got to go. That was Farouk's whole movement when he put the nation, the all-black version of the nation together. Okay?
Well, you know what? It don't even have to be about, you know, that is kind of close on Ferguson, though. But at the same time,
they can,
you know, use pipe bombs as, like, you know, I've been here for, like, 9.5 years. Out of all of them in the new nation, that's if it does happen, the main one that has a lot of ammunition is really Kofi Kingston, because that man been so freaking quiet. He's like a house coon with a K, by the way. And he just sit there, he smiles to the crowd and all that. I'm serious. I am really looking forward to his heel turn. That's if he even had one, I'm just saying.
And that's the thing. I think they was going to go that direction with the Nation, of how they're just being used like this jobber organization over here. But like I said, with the Ferguson situation, you got to be careful how you go about that, because if something comes up and that relationship can go, they do that, hell, all three of them niggas cannot have a job. Okay?
I mean,
you got to be careful how you do
true.
That. So it's cool to let them chill for a moment.
And even though that's a touchy subject, Triple H comes on TV. I don't know if he preaches this in the back, but he preaches on TV that we are in the era, the reality era, he likes to call it. He's saying that this is the reality era. If you want to play that this is the reality era and you want these, you got to let Xavier get out here and speak about that.
Exactly.
Now how the crowd's going to perceive it,
that's the problem.
It may be touchy, but then we want to know, like, are they going to perceive it in a way where they're going to cheer because they know what's going on in Ferguson is wrong? Or are they going to boo it because they're looking at it from a black perspective and they're hating it, white people?
But the problem
is, honestly, I really think it will work. I think it will work because I think a lot of people will sympathize where Kofi Kingston been, you know, where he been since he been in the WWE. He's won, like, you know, countless IC championships. He's been, tag team champion. But the question remains is, why haven't you gotten to the main event status? The closest you've been was when you was fighting against Randy Orton, I think it was in 2009, if I'm not mistaken. That was a nice-ass feud, but then you got cut short, and then you never recover after that. You've been IC champion, but you never been WWE champion. You never been world champion. What in the fuck is going on?
Now, me, on the other hand, I don't think it will work, because if you keeping tabs on what's going on in the Ferguson situation, it's getting very, very hostile. We're talking damn near the 1960s civil rights movement kind of a hostile, okay, where you can take a subject and get extra touchy. Now, I agree with y'all. I think that's exactly what they were going to do. I think the whole entire Kofi has been a background player for so long, it's time for him to get where he needs to go. The fact that
this is the reality era, though. You know what I'm saying? If you get offended, suck a dick. I'm just saying.
It is a reality, but it's also a business, bro. The last thing the WWE needs is to start getting negative press again. Like, bro, it's been so hard on the WWE to the point they had to completely pull Vince out the fucking picture as being a part of the WWE television programming because of all the shit that kept constantly coming up when Linda was running for office. So imagine something like this, the most touchiest thing going on in America right now, you go and you make a joke about it in regards to trying to boost your show.
But that goes back to what we just said, reality. This don't got nothing to do with TV time. This is actually a pipe bomb. This is a shoot. This is what's really going on behind closed doors. So that's what I'm saying, that this really would, like, really help Kofi, because, like I said, it helped CM Punk. When he said that pipe bomb, where they was at tonight in Las Vegas, man, that motherfucker went to superstardom
in 24 hours. Here's the difference. What he said was about the company, about the business he was in. He didn't say nothing about current events. Okay?
No, but he said about Ring of Honor, though. He said shit that didn't have nothing to do with the WWE,
though. But that's still the wrestling business. He didn't step outside the wrestling world when he made his pipe bomb. It was the fact that it shocked everybody because he said something about another company on national TV. But when you step outside the wrestling world and you start talking about real shit, that's when it's reality, but it's dangerous ground, okay?
I mean, but that's the business that you live in, though, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
I mean, it's like, look, what did But what did Eric Bischoff say? Controversy makes cash. If you want people to really look at your product, Web, you want people to start looking and listening and talking about your shit, you have to kind of cross those boundaries. Sometimes you have to, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, get people to, like, really listen. Sometimes you just need that bang.
But take this into consideration. Look at the times where the WWE has tried to do that and how the backlash came about. Number one, when they had that bombing back in the days with the terrorists, and they went and got a little real and crucified, what's his name, on TV. The WWE got hated big time that they had to fire two people because of that shit, okay?
That was just beyond stupid, though.
Recently, Lana made a comment in regards to the plane incident, okay? Boom, got mad backlash, and all she did was made a subliminal message that was tied into what happened in real life. She didn't even say it. She made a subliminal message, and they damn near were getting ready to fire her.
Here's my thing now. So we can – now, I'm not knocking this, but it's out there. Like, so we can wear pink for Susan G. Komen. It's for breast cancer. That's cool. We can – challenge people via Facebook. Triple H has done it. Vince has done it. Stephanie just did it last night. Everybody could do the ice challenge in support of ALS and the Lou Gehrig's disease. But now we have a situation where you got one of the biggest platforms in the world. Like, you know how many people watch WWE? And you take a black man, you stand him in the middle of the ring with a microphone just to bring awareness to the situation that's going on, and now that's touchy?
That's very because of how people are looking at the situation. See, all what you just named, okay, all this awareness to these illnesses and what, that's a universal agreement that these illnesses need to be taken care of, okay? Universal, 100%. When it comes to race in America, there's not a universal agreement in regards to that because we got some people who feel what the cop did is not wrong. We also got some people that hate every race. Okay, and then we got some people who feel that we need to be equal, and then we got some people who feel that, you know what, all the races need to get a different section of the U.S. and we mind our motherfucking business, okay? Because we have all different views in regards to that's what makes it touchy. Now, the thing about it is if the WWE, okay, even if you just use the guys, if you want to make a stand, don't go and build a whole storyline around making this stand. Let those guys do what they want to do in regards to maybe saying a shirt, saying hashtag Ferguson on it when they come down to the ring, okay? Have them put an armband on that says RIPMB, whatever. Let them do the little small stuff that's going to bring attention but not bring the wrong kind of attention, okay? Let them do that. That's safe. That's cool. That's okay. You're not overly offending anybody in regards to it, and you're also bringing awareness. But don't build a full storyline because what if, okay, here's the key fact, the situation gets a little bit out of hand. Let's say this cop they eventually find some legitimate reason. Let's just say they do. I doubt they will, but let's just say they do find some legitimate reason for the cop that had done what he did. Okay, we know it ain't, but let's say he did. And we built this whole storyline around supporting this movement that shit needs to be done right, and it blows up in their face, okay? Not only are you going to lose half of the people who have invested in to the WWE, okay, you are going to get public backlash for jumping on the situation, all right? That's the reason why it's touchy, because you're a company, a globally traded company, and you publicly go out there and you make a stand saying this is how you feel about the situation. Next thing you know it, those stocks will start to fall, okay? We have African-Americans would look at it as, you know what, I fuck with Vince McMahon for going out there and saying what he needs to say. But on the business side of things, shit is going to fucking hell. The safest way to do is don't touch the situation right now. Let whatever pans out on TV pans out. Then we get a final conclusion to the situation. Then build your storyline around that. That way we don't have anything else to worry about coming back and biting us in the ass. Plus, here's another thing we haven't taken into consideration, people. We always blame it on the big companies, the writers, the staff, Vince, Triple H. Maybe Kofi, Big E, and Xavier Woods just don't want to fuck with this. Maybe they came to them and said, you know what? This is a great time. Let's jump on this shit. Let's do this. Let's go here. Let's write these things. Let's go with this. And these guys might be like, you know what? I'm not touching this. We tend to forget that wrestlers do have the opportunity to say no. We just know that sometimes saying no could keep you off of TV for a mighty long time, but maybe they saying no this time. Maybe we just don't want to touch this because this is something bigger than just a storyline, and we don't want it to be just a storyline. Gotta think about that.
It's always money. They said that Vince McMahon, he's really high on Xavier Woods. Like, the situation in the whole, like, as far as him doing the little stable and being polishing of the nation, like, I don't know what's stopping them from pulling the trigger. It could be multifaceted of why they haven't pulled the trigger. But word is, this man's really high on it. He likes it. He likes Xavier Woods. I guess they caught him in the back. Cutting, you know, heelish type promos to himself, you know, just practicing or whatnot, and they walk in and they really like it. So they're gonna pull the trigger, but like you said, they might wait until this whole Ferguson thing dies down. So you got three black men on TV with a gripe. It doesn't look like it's racially charged, and it's not taken out of context when they could not say anything about the Ferguson situation, and it still get taken that way. Like, oh well, shit, you got three black niggas on TV. Talking about fuck white people. You talking about these people.
Man, when a light-skinned nigga from Grey's Anatomy gets on TV and tells you he don't like the way the shit's moving, like, I've grown up in white America. I lived in the suburbs. I see white boys doing the same shit all the time, and you don't see none of them getting shot, and he's highly pissed off on CNN News. You know this shit is touchy. Okay? Like, Sam went out and spoke his mind. He could lose his damn job. Working for Grey's Anatomy, but he spoke his mind. That's why it's so damn sensitive. You can't. Not everything that happens in the real world needs to be fucked with. That's all I'm saying. This is one of those times.
That's very true. I do want to see Kofi kind of step up. I want to see Kofi drop a pipe bomb.
I do.
Even if he doesn't,
I want him to drop a pipe bomb, and I want it to be a wrestling related pipe bomb.
Even if he doesn't touch on anything that's Black America. I mean, damn, wrestling
career
related to Black America. Shit, we've been held down, and I've been wanting to drop a pipe bomb on Randy. Tell everybody that Randy held your career.
And you know what? And that's where I wanted to go, too. But I guess you can't drop the pipe bomb on Randy until this Roman Reigns Randy shit is done, at least. Like, bitch about how the fact that these three superb athletes have not been put in position. Xavier Woods didn't even have a natural introduction. He came out and was somebody else's gimmick. Okay, he can go on about that. He wants his own man, his own identity. Big E came in, was beast in the league, and all of a sudden, y'all pushed him back. You made him lackey to a diva, second hand to your current IC champion. When was the last time he's been in the title picture? You can go with that. All three of them can articulate on the mic, which is great. Like, when Big E was on the fucking news here in Milwaukee, I didn't know he so well. Not because...
Yeah, but Big E will always be... I don't know. Maybe nobody thinks of it now, but I will never forget the fact that nigga's first words was, I got the mic now.
And I guess he was supposed to go somewhere with it, but they never did anything with it. That's what they should have did. Like, bro should have dropped the pipe bomb out the door. But, I mean, he got a huge following from NXT. And that's another good thing about them. They're homegrown. Both Xavier Woods technically is not homegrown if you are a true wrestling fan. But Big E is, okay? Kofi is. They're homegrown, okay? So they can easily complain about how people are coming in from other companies, taking their spots and whatnot. And it's favoritism. That's if you're going to do it based on favoritism. Do the whole entire Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose favoritism situation. But then another question would be, if you do the New Nation, outside of Kofi going at Randy, who would their first feuds be? You damn sure can't send them at the Wyatt family, because them niggas is on the fucking roll. Okay?
Hey, I gotta depart. So, but thank you so much for having me on the show. I gotta go take care of
business. You're always welcome to come back. Next time we do a wrestling show, you most definitely be the very first person we call in to join us.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I just want to give a shout out to my friends in BCW and my guys, the Zombie Crew. It's the hottest thing going on. We are definitely going to kick the Front Row Mafia's asses September 9th. I'm
what?
Just letting y'all know. But, yeah, if y'all want to,
hey,
like,
man,
hit us up.
What
the
hell?
Well, hey, hit me up on the personal and I'll let you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let us know
it's
about
some,
taxes.
It's some shit going on. But, yeah, no, it's actually, it's phenomenal. But, anyway, y'all in the middle of the show. I'll holler at y'all later. Anyway, but big shout out to Frankie DeShenko. Love you guys. But, anyway, thank y'all so much. And I'll hit y'all up a little bit later. Adios, y'all.
Let's get that coon out the building. Okay. Now we can have a field.
You might have to be a WCW show.
No, it's, what do you say, September 9th? It can't be September 9th. That's Tuesday. Hold on. Let me double check some shit here. Yeah, it can't. It's got to be a different day. He got his facts mixed up.
Yeah, maybe September 19th, because that's a Friday.
Yeah. That sounds better.
Right,
I'm, like, I'm not going to go to, I'm not gonna go watch no wrestling show while Destiny just dropped on my PS4. You lost your damn mind, my brother. No, but like bro was saying, like we've been talking about, Doug, if you're going to do the New Nation, the first question would be, who do you feud with? I think that's the biggest issue with the New Nation. They don't have nobody to go to war with. That's not going to help or hurt either one of them. You see what I'm saying?
Chris Jericho.
Jericho has his own problem right now. He's
well, I'm
so
saying,
you're gonna bring Jericho in, and you're gonna have him get his ass whooped by two factions back to back.
Well, first of all, him and Bray Wyatt are clearly done.
Not after today.
Man, I gotta go back and watch Raw because I clearly missed important pieces of Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho basically cut a Cena-style promo talking about he's never running from anybody. And then Bray Wyatt cut his promo. Because, you know, basically Jericho said he's alive. It's always pumping in his heart. As long as his fans are chanting Y2J, he's going to keep coming. And then, you know, Bray Wyatt cuts his little promo talking about, yeah, I said I'm dead, and I am dead inside, but maybe I just like to see people torture, or I just like to hurt people from my own personal feeling. Like, basically, it was a good, you know, good versus evil. But they ain't done, my nigga. They ain't done. A lot of people ain't done. They just shifted. Like, everybody basically is being set up for a rematch from last night.
What I'm saying, though, like, Night of Champions is going to be an interesting pay-per-view, only because we only have 5 belts.
Right. And that's where things definitely get good at now. Because, for an example, the Usos, after tonight, looks like that they're probably going to be going at Goldust and Stardust because they beat the Usos clean. And it wasn't no anger after the match. Like, the Usos literally sat in the ring, like one sat down after he got pinned, the other one was standing, and they're looking at it like, damn, we lost to these niggas. All right, cool. You know what? Yeah, let's do this. So I can see them going at each other for the tag belts. Paige and AJ is still going strong because Paige had her match against Natty tonight, and AJ came out and caused a distraction, and Natty got the W on Paige. So that's still going to be going. And then after the match, AJ was like she wanted to dedicate her whole life to Paige. So she just wanted Paige to come here so she can shake her hand. And Paige hauled ass. So that feud ain't done. That feud going to flip-flop back and forth. It's going to remind, you know what Paige and AJ feud remind me of, bro? it's not Lita and Trish like we thought. It's Mickey and Trish. That's their feud. The feud is Mickey and Trish. Who's going to out-crazy the other one? Miz and Dolph is still going to be going strong because tonight the match with Dolph and Miz was just as good as the match at SummerSlam, but Miz won via the fact that Dolph got himself counted out. So it was one of those, I'll take this L to keep my belt. Now, he hurt his knee, or he sold the knee injury. So, you know, we won't find out until sometime this week whether or not the injury was real, but that's still going. Now, the only concern is who the hell is Brock going to fight and who the hell is Sheamus going to fight. I want to say Cesaro because the bromance that they had on on the panel, but I could be wrong.
I never stopped you before.
I'm still going to ride with it, but, you know, we got to see what they do on SmackDown. SmackDown got to have some purpose. Because technically, ain't they like the U.S. belt, but SmackDown belt?
I don't know. Let's go back
like belt exclusive.
To the brand split before they made it just one belt. The U.S. belt is a Raw belt. IC title and a SmackDown belt.
But the IC title get more love out the two in the mid-card because it's a WWE original.
Speaking of WWE original, if anybody pay any close attention, maybe it was just me, but, like, did Raw just have a different look to it tonight? Maybe it was all of their new network logos?
It was all the new logos. All the new logos debuted today. The new belt logo debuted today. The new logo itself was being used. The mics got updated. It was just, it's the new logo, bruh. It's a clean logo, and I like it.
Right, it just, like, Raw just looked different, like, even from the names, like, the nameplate presentations. Like, everything just looked different.
It's just clean. I like the double W's. It's clean. There's no F, there's no E, there's no entertainment. It's just wrestling. It's just two W's. I'm good with that. I could make some wrestler who first and last name start with an M and flip the two W's, and I got his logo. It works.
Who are you, The Miz?
Yeah, The Miz belt will be on the game, so yeah. I think my career player will be some nigga that start with his name start with an M. I think it will. I'm going to be different.
Yeah. It's about that time and the time that we are running out of. So I'd like to thank everybody who listened to the Death Fresh show. This was a recap.
You
want to
do a regular show on Wednesday?
Sure. We could definitely do the we'll do the Death Fresh show on Wednesday. Seeing that would be my new time slot.
It's really your old time slot.
Right.
We tried to give it to Dia for a while, but that didn't work out. But now, with the fact that there will be no more PU, we're going to try to cater to the poet community by putting Dia's show on Tuesdays to allow her to still feed the minds, the ears, and the hearts of all those poets out there who ain't got no place to go on Tuesdays anymore.
Wait, so the Leprechaun movie comes out next week. They must be doing a lot of straight-to-DVD shit.
It's got to be, dog, because we have never seen any trailers in the theater for it. And we go to movies religiously every Tuesday.
Right, and if it wasn't for Dia and this being our last night, we'd probably get the movie again.
Seeing the Turtles.
Yes, and Lee.
One of these days, I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to see something without you niggas.
Why would you want to do that? The family
not
thing.
Not to break up the family, but sometimes it's shit I want to see that you niggas won't go see.
Like what?
I do it on my own. I'll go see Bella.
You go see who?
It's the see. You don't even know about it. This random movie called Bella.
Huh. Only Bella's I see on TV.
I really want to see how Total Divas is going to be with the Bella twins being split.
Look, Well, we have to wait till season 4 because apparently they're done with they're filming season 3 because it debuts next month on the 7th.
Yeah, they're done with 3. They got to be getting ready to do 4 in a minute. Because they renewed 4 or 5 seasons.
Right. We're going to have Rosa Mendez. And so are they moving Mark Henry into a feud with Rusev now?
Yes. Yes, they are, sir. And it's a beautiful thing. It is. Because to me, I find it funny, but yes, it's still good at the same time. Mark Henry has been off TV for God knows how long, okay? He comes back tonight. He came back tonight in a tag team. Well, look, what I'm saying is overall. I'm saying overall, like relevantly being on TV, okay? Him and Big Show teamed up tonight, and they had a nice little fight against Harper and Rowan. Nice, beat their ass, okay? So it was good. It's like, okay, here's another tag team out here right now. Here's your monsters. So now the Usos really got some shit to worry about now, okay? And then when Rusev and Lana was celebrating about the fact that they won a match, fam, music hit just like clear as day. And it was perfect because you know his music clear as day, say somebody going to get their ass kicked. Somebody going to get their wig split. So the fact that he came down to the ring to whoop your ass, okay, was cool. And he did. Left that nigga on the floor hurt. This is what Rusev needs, though. See, because now, think about it. Rusev has beasted everybody he's fought. Okay? Mark Henry is clearly bigger and stronger than you. So you're going to have to bring your A-game to beast him. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say Mark Henry is going to beat Rusev. It's going to boil down to the Big Show putting this nigga out. But it's that springboard to keep Rusev going. Because Jack Swagger came out tonight, ribs all hurt, busted up, without Zeb Coulter. Like, he's a shell of a man right now. So, I want to see where that's going to go.
It's kind of very doing all kinds of things.
Yeah. Like, fam is a shell of a man. He feels like he felt his country and all kind of shit, which, you know, basically we don't care. Ain't nobody outside, like, other than JBL, because JBL is pissed that dude for losing.
Nobody else really cares.
Right, nobody else really care. We get it, bro. You took an L. We all take L's. Hell, America took an L. It's called Vietnam. But get over it.
JBL's not over it.
No, JBL did not like Duke Soul. Like, he hates Jack Swagger tremendously right now. But when Mark Henry came out and handed out some ass whooping, fan was geeked and was like, and it's a Texan. Like, that made it even worse. Like, JBL was on Mark Henry's nuts hard.
He's a Texan, man.
I understand that, bro. But this is what Mark Henry needs, though. Real talk. He needs a feud that even if he loses it, he still looks like the dude. And I have a feeling he needs to lose this feud against Rusev. He needs to get a couple of wins, and Rusev needs to basically win it all when it matters, to keep his flow going. And then this is when you slide Big Show in there. Now, it all depends, because now with Big Show back and Brock Lesnar being a beast, and technically nobody's ready to face dude without their career being hurt right now, because you can't throw Roman at him, because if you put Roman at him and Brock wins, what do you do with Roman? You see what I'm saying? You just throw Big Show at him. Brock Lesnar and Big Show done went to war twice. Hell, there's a broken ring to prove it.
It's very true.
So going into Night of Champions, I would rather see Big Show.
That mother got all new belts.
Yep. So that's my prediction. I predict Big Show versus Brock Lesnar, Night of Champions. Rusev and Mark Henry, with Mark Henry getting a win in this match to redeem America. Dolph and Miz 2, AJ and Paige 4. Sheamus is the only one I don't know. I'm going to go with Cesaro to keep him relevant, but who knows? And Randy and Roman 2, because Dean Ambrose got killed today. So, if they don't, I have it already downloaded, so I'm prepared. The power of YouTube, bro. The power of YouTube. I have my 32.
Okay, but before we leave, I want you to answer one more question for me.
Yep.
Why does Liv you coming out here just like Fashida?
Who?
One of the characters from Dragon Ball Z. Did you come out here dressed like him?
Who is dressed like him?
The Miz. He's coming out wearing the little shawl. It looks like he's going to pray to the Moth Temple. Just like a fucking
okay. Now, ironically, Teresa didn't use that actual reference, but she did point out the fact that Miz had this outfit on. And she's like, you know what? That's not a bad outfit if he wasn't walking around in his drawers. Like,
yeah,
if he had
some flip-flops.
Now, if he had on some skinny jeans and a nice little polo shirt with that jacket, he'd probably been cool. But fam came out here in this long, white, leathery-looking jacket, some shade, and his drawers. But he's supposed to be Hollywood, though. So that's the whole thing about it. He's Hollywood.
He definitely looks like Johnny Cage.
Yeah, he definitely is looking Hollywoodish. Only problem is nobody's biting it. Here's the crazy part. The people who could be Hollywood don't. Okay? Rock don't come back Hollywood. Rock come back as an amped up ass athlete who went to the army and came back and now he...
This time he comes back, he just look like he missed it so much.
Right, and that's just a cool thing I like about The Rock. Cena, you got to be reminded, fam did a movie or two. You don't know. Everybody else who done went Hollywood, apparently it didn't work out for them because they don't be on TV no more. Ted DiBiase Jr. went Hollywood, ain't seen him since. Hogan just said, fuck wrestling and get money. Period. So, yeah. I guess you got to run with the Hollywood because nobody else can do it. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's true. But like we said three other times, it's time to go. So, shout out to everybody that came to the first show. We'll be back Wednesday.
Make sure you turn
it on Thursday.
Yes, it will. Make sure you turn to the episode of Tasha Tace on Thursday. We will be talking about dating with kids. Fresh, could you date a girl who already has kids? You probably have.
I've dated several chicks with kids.
Well, definitely make sure you join us on Thursday as we go ahead and we discuss with the other lady folks about dating with kids and how, you know, sometimes having a kid is a hindrance or a help when it comes to dating. Also, you get these blended families, kind of like people we know who are dating and they have kids, and the kids get to hanging out.
That's
say
fucking
chick terrible. Go wrong.
What kind of music we got to take us out of here, man?
Due to the fact that we all are talking about wrestling today, let's go ahead and in honor of the boy who died tonight, we're going to leave tonight's show with Dean Ambrose theme.
Rest in peace, Dean
Ambrose.
This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Every day, a part of every sub you buy at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. And now, for a limited time, they're introducing the Daily Sub Special. Every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. They kick it off with Meatball Monday and finish it off with Italian Sunday, with something delicious every day in between for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Tap the banner now to learn more.